Just 5 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. First Advantage text lines 970-478-1301. What a weekend it was for this. I mean, for all of football, for the local teams that we follow throughout the course of the season. It's good to get this week started off on the right foot. Well, kind of. It depends on if you're a Buffs fan, Bears fan, or Rams fan. If you're a Rams fan, you have officially pressed the panic button. If you're a Bears fan, you have, I think you feel pretty good about yourself. You know, at this point, you got to be able to put on a decent showing. And ultimately, this is, you know, this, they covered the spread. I mean, yeah, they lose 35-7. I was at that game. Certainly didn't feel like a 35-7 loss. It was 0-0 at the end of one. It was still 0-0 midway through the second quarter. I was going back and forth with Jerry Schimmel the day after, and I was like, it really felt like the momentum was just zapped, sucked out of the lives of the UNC Bears. There was a drive midway through the second quarter where there was a special teams penalty. Punt returner for CU goes out of bounds. There's a hit out of bounds. And then the Buffs continue to drive, but then the Bears buckle down, get a stop, or what appears to be a stop. It's third and like 16. And Brendan Lewis rolls out to the right, steps out of bounds, and he's hit again. So two late hit penalties basically set up that first score for CU. And they go up 7-0. They get they get another touchdown to end the half. They go up 14-0. I think it was 21-0, and then the Bears got their first touchdown. So, I mean, listen, 35-7, it doesn't look great on paper. I get that. But, I mean, come on. I'm seeing a lot of Denver meat. Were you guys at this freaking game? Where were you guys? Watching replays of Super Bowl 50 for the Broncos? My goodness. Stomping of the Bears? And I'm, listen, you guys know me. I'm not a homer. I know we're the voice of the Bears, but I saw what I saw. This team was hanging in there for the most part. And there were a lot of good things to take away from it. Let's get into all that, unpack it. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, the good for me, again, the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. The good for me, I'm a big Dylan McCaffrey fan. He's an awesome guy. We're getting to know him, probably going to be working with him pretty soon here on this show. I was impressed. He ended the day 24-42, 236 yards, one touchdown, and one pick.
McCaffrey shouting out signals. He gets the snap, drops back to 9. He's pressured. He gets out of the pressure. He fires downfield, wide open and caught at the 15-yard line and up to the 32-yard line. A great catch and run on the reception was Jordan Napke. That is a gain. It is a first down for the Bears. McCaffrey back in that shotgun. Three wide receivers are left. Tight end to the right. Gets the snap. Drops back about the 24-yard line. Finds a man open the open field to the 40-yard line. And across the 45, the 46, another first down. Cassidy Woods, the reception. Second first down for the Bears.
All right, that first possession. I'm in the visiting section, right? I'm there with a bunch of UNC Bears fans. Dude, there was a buzz. There was belief. It was really fun. That very first drive, UNC looked like they could do no wrong. I also wanted to add in the defensive line for the Bears. They were getting that initial push. And Jarek Broussard ended with 94 yards. And listen, they ended with 281 yards rushing. Seems like a heck of a lot. But that's all they did. That's all they did was run the football. Brendan Lewis threw for 100 yards. So, could have been worse. I walked away feeling pretty good for the Bears, and honestly, I feel pretty good for Carl Durrell's Buffs, and I'll talk about more of that in detail. Let's get to the bad. How about headlines, Colfax? Again, were you at the game? What's your name, Sean Keeler of the Denver Post? CU Buffs run wild, stomp UNC Bears, Coach Ed McCaffrey in season opener. No. No, I think even Coach McCaffrey said, hey, they thought we were losing by 60 or whatever. 14-0 at the half. And I know it's not moral victories, but it's Big Sky versus Pac-12. That's a stomping, 35-7? Covered the spread by 10 points? That's a stomping. Okay, well, good to know you watched that game, or did you just look at the scoreboard? The ugly, and it was ugly. Colorado State losing to South Dakota State, 42-23.
Second down and four. Isaiah Davis is the deep back. Flipping into the end zone. Touchdown, Jaden Yonke.
And that is the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Brady, my first time sportsbook bet didn't go well. No regrets. Liked the enthusiasm and fortitude from UNC. You were there. Did CU call off the dogs, or did they have issues? Both. I do not, and I'm going to say this to be fair about the Buffs, I don't think the Buffs gave the Bears everything in their arsenal. Does that mean they would have done better? Not necessarily. I think the Buffs came at this with a very basic approach because they got to play Texas A&M this weekend at Empower Sports Field High in Vesco, Elway, Broncos. So I'm not saying that as an excuse as to why UNC hung in there. CU should be a good enough team where if they want to just Jarek Broussard you to death, they should be able to do that. And again, they had the numbers. The rushing numbers didn't seem that real, though, because I thought the Bears really held up. It was when they tried to go left and right side of the field on offense for UNC that I thought, okay, that's a weakness, because CU, they're just so fast. They're just so fast in getting on the outside. But so to answer your question, did CU call off the dogs? Could they have ran down that last possession and tried to get a score and cover the spread? Maybe, but they had 2 minutes left. So I'm going to say they didn't. It's not that they called off the dogs. They more or less, they weren't pulling out all the stops. They weren't opening up that playbook past like page five or six. Now, again, if they do that, do they take more chances downfield? Do they take more passing chances and end up throwing interceptions and getting more sacks and fumbles? Maybe so, because there's a give and take on that. People can say, well, they didn't open up their whole playbook. Sometimes you don't want to for several reasons. You don't want to show Texas A&M a whole heck of a lot. Plus, you think you're good enough to beat this team without taking a lot of chances. Brendan Lewis was efficient. He was 10 of 15, 102 yards. Only 100 yards, though. They weren't throwing the ball. He's averaging 6 yards a throw. They ran the football. Jarek Broussard got it for 15 carries for 94 yards. You know, again, this could be CU this year. I actually think if you watch, and I know you guys are going to say I'm like the official Northern Colorado / Boulder homer, I think you walk away from that game going, the Bears held their own for a while. The Buffs won, you know, decisively. So there's actually a way to walk away from this game and say both of those teams got what they wanted. Did the Buffs want to win by more and cover the spread? Sure. Did fans want to do that? Sure. But, I mean, fans were there celebrating like you guys just won the Super Bowl. My goodness. It's like, I mean, it's an FCS team that kind of had you on the ropes there for a moment. If you're the Bears, did you want to get to the point where, you know, well, obviously you want to win the game, but if you're Bears fans, you would have liked to see another touchdown. And they were driving. They were driving. Dylan throws an interception kind of in the back of the end zone late. I was really impressed with Dylan, though. This offensive line, they held up okay. It wasn't, they weren't extremely awesome in this one, but they held up okay. Cassidy Woods, 4 receptions for 88 yards. He had the touchdown. He looked awesome. I was talking to Coach a little bit. And just chatting it up, you know, a couple of best friends. And he's like, think about this, dude. He didn't say dude. Dylan and True Wilson, the running back, they hadn't played a full game in 5 years. A full game in 5 years. You know, Dylan's come in and substituted and been in there. True Wilson, kind of the same thing, but they haven't played a full game like that in 5 years. So, I mean, again, you can throw out excuses. Nobody's making excuses. UNC knows what happened. Hey, they got beat 35-7. There's certainly some things you can take away from this game, though, and say, could UNC have a good year? And then you, of course, you look at the scores in the Big Sky Conference. And it was, I would say, I would say the Big Sky looked pretty good this weekend. Montana beating Washington. Where have you checked on? Have we done a Michael check? Colfax, is he all right back there? Because that's his team. That's his Pac-12 sweetheart team, you know. And they kind of got punched in the mouth by an FBS or FCS team. So I would tell you, looking at the scores for the Big Sky, Weber State played Utah. They were in that game until about the half. It was 40-17. UC Davis beat Tulsa. Eastern Washington beat a Mountain West team in UNLV, 35-33. Montana beat Washington, 13-7. North Dakota beat Idaho State, 35-14. Montana State only lost to Wyoming, our friends up here to the north, by 3. Cal Poly beat San Diego. I mean, Sacramento State beat Dixie State. Okay. Portland State lost to Hawaii, Mountain West team, but it was 49-35. Again, I think if you're a Big Sky fan, you're looking at this going, great for UNC. They didn't get torched that bad by CU, but the Big Sky looks pretty damn good. 17 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, more on this, the aftermath. We were off yesterday because of Labor Day, but we're here ready to rock and roll. We will talk a little Broncos. Let's get that first glance. Oh, by the way, it's game week for the Broncos, Giants, regular season game one on Sunday, and it's Top Text Tuesday, and I think we got something really cool in store for you, thanks to Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. So we'll confirm that in just a moment. 17 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
For all things Rams football, tune in to Rams Weekly, Thursday nights at 5 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Last week was our game week edition, so to speak, going into the college football scene, and now we are rolling. We get Broncos, Giants starting up on Sunday, man, I am so ready. I am pumped. I'm ready to rock and roll. Joining us now from DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider, Zach Stevens, my man. Are we ready for this? It's finally here. Regular season football. I mean, we're only 2 days away from an actual regular season game and then a few away from the Broncos Giants.
No, I can't wait for it all, Brady. I mean, college weekend was fantastic this past weekend. Now we get a double dose of college and the NFL. And like you said, I'm even pumped to watch Tom Brady on Thursday night. I'm just ready for football to be back.
Yeah, me too. Let's see those Buccaneers and Cowboys with, I think, Dak Prescott. That's been a strange thing, but I'm guessing he's going to be ready to go. But let's get into this one here. This Giants team's interesting, Zach. You know, and the fact that Daniel Jones is entering his third year, they're kind of at a point where, I mean, maybe where we would have been with Drew Locke this year if he would have been the starter, but they're at a point where, hey, it's put up or shut up time for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, not just for Daniel Jones, but kind of that entire organization with their head coach, with Daniel Jones, also with Saquon. We know when Saquon's healthy the type of talent he can be, but he's due a pretty big contract coming up, so he needs to also show that he's more of that guy that he was early in his career and is able to successfully come back from that injury. But you're absolutely right about Daniel Jones. This is a guy who has flashed his talent, is more athletic than people think, but also he is a turnover machine, and that is something that the Broncos should absolutely capitalize on this week. And it's not just interceptions. He does throw interceptions, but it's not like he leads the league in throwing interceptions. He's a guy that's really sloppy with the ball in the pocket and when he takes off to run, which is quite often.
Zach, how much pressure is there? I mean, again, you're looking at September. Vic Fangio is not one in September. You look at this Giants team, they're hungry. They're hungry for a win, and maybe this division's going to be improved, but I mean, the first 3 weeks, we've got to be talking some crazy pressure on Vic Fangio.
Oh, tons of pressure. You hit it right on the head. First, Vic has to get his first win in September. And then after that, not just settle for that, but they have to have a winning record. after the month of September. They have to be at least 2-1. Anything else, and Brady, you're starting to think, oh boy, this season is already over before we get into October, let alone Halloween, November, and December. But what's interesting, and I think you kind of touched on it, was all of these teams that the Broncos are playing, they're saying the same thing about the Broncos. This is one of the easiest games on the schedule for us. Now, Broncos are loaded with talent, but you can't really disagree with those teams when they look at the Broncos and see a 5-11 team last year. So this is something where the Broncos need to come out and get these easy wins, because there is no easy win in the NFL, but there's certainly easier games. And after this, it gets much more difficult.
So, all right, worst case scenario would be 0-3. If he's 1-2 in September, what are we doing here? Are we letting Vic play this out? Because looking at the schedule, it doesn't get that much easier instantly. There's, I think, a Baltimore game in that mix, Browns game in that mix, Steelers game there. Then you start getting into some division play. I mean, is there a chance, a realistic chance, that if you go 0-4 in the first three, or maybe just 1-2, does Vic Fangio stick around?
You know, I really think George Payton is going to give the benefit of the doubt to Vic as much as possible. So I think he'll let it play past 0-3 or 1-2. But then, Brady, I mean, there's only so long that George Payton can allow this thing to go in that sort of direction, if it happens that way, without then his credibility being put on the line. So I think unless a major change of events were to happen in those next three games, and like you said, those are three very difficult games, then that's when I see a move being made. Maybe right after that Cleveland game, since that's a Thursday night game, you kind of have 10 days. That's about the earliest I see something happening, even if it's way off the track.
Well, that's going to be, again, nothing like must-see really for the Broncos. I know Broncos-Giants, it's not like the sexiest matchup in the history of the world, but because of what this could mean, because of Vic Fangio's record in September, every game we're going to be magnifying it. And you know what? We're really not going to walk away satisfied unless there's a W next to one of those three, or to all of those three games.
Well, and on top of that, Brady, let's say the Broncos come out and lose against the Giants. Well, you have another East Coast road game against a bad team. But what if Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson look good this week? Then you don't really see them as terrible teams anymore. You see them as guys, as teams with the number one and number two overall pick. Now, it could be the opposite. The Broncos could come out. They could shut Saquon Barkley down. They could get three turnovers off Daniel Jones, and Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson struggle in their first games. And you're saying there's a legitimate shot at 3-0. But the worst-case scenario that we could be talking about in 1 week from now is pretty daunting.
Talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And, I mean, there's a lot of storylines surrounding this team. And obviously we talked about one of the big ones, and that's Vic Fangio and what his immediate future will look like if they struggle in those first few weeks of the season. But there's some other ones that we're really interested. Obviously, the quarterback situation. We've turned the page, for better or worse. We're riding with Teddy Bridgewater. There's a lot at stake for him. I mean, this is kind of that, I don't know, fourth chance, fifth chance for him to come out and prove, hey, I can be a consistent starting quarterback. I can be a leader of a team. So, I mean, that's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, and Teddy really wasn't going to get another chance to start this year after how it went in Carolina last year, and Carolina tried to dump him. But he won the job, so he wasn't even given the job, won the job. And Brady, if he struggles this year, well, then he's going to be looking at more of a career backup type role. However, if he does well this year, maybe it's from the Broncos, maybe it's from someone else, just like Carolina did with him last year, he could be looking at a four-year, $80 million contract, a four-year, $100 million contract. So to say a lot is on the line, Brady, is an understatement for Teddy. Now, he certainly will have a job next year, regardless of if it's in Denver, but the price difference could be, you know, $8 million compared to $25-30 million.
Well, and as much as we've talked about, hey, the Broncos want it to work out with Drew Lock because he's young, you know, you drafted him and all that, I mean, they're not going to hate it if it works out for Teddy Bridgewater. If Teddy comes out and plays above average football, maybe a little better than that even, and you're winning games and you get into the playoffs, then my whole argument of, hey, well, now you're drafted in the 20s, it won't matter. Because if you believe that Teddy can be the guy to run the show with this group that you have, with these wide receivers you've assembled, that O-line and Javonte Williams going forward, then, I mean, that covers you. You don't have to worry about it for the next couple of years.
Well, and on top of it, Brady, is Vic Fangio caring about the Broncos' future in 5 or 10 years? No, he's not. So I think he would absolutely be okay rolling with Teddy Bridgewater, especially if he does well this year. And he doesn't want to turn to a young guy and have to go through those growing pains again, especially knowing that he's not on the first year of his deal like George Payton is. He has to win right now, and especially just beyond this year as well. He needs to win it because he's been given kind of that grace period now. And George Payton also, he has a lot of ties to Teddy Bridgewater. It's not just this free agent he brought in. Teddy Bridgewater was his first-round draft pick when he was with the Vikings, so he has plenty of reason to fall in love with Teddy and stick with him and roll with him. And so you're absolutely right. This is something that we could be looking at as a more of a long-term option for the Broncos if it works out.
Yeah, it's another one that I'm really just intrigued by. Like I said, I was in the Drew Lock camp. I'll admit it. I was a Drew Lock guy, Zach, and now I'm over it. I'm trying to turn the page, and now I'm extremely interested because this is a storyline. And if you're a Broncos fan, and you're rooting for him to prove that he could be the guy for the next couple of years. The other one that has me is the running back situation, Zach. Melvin Gordon admitted that the Philip Lindsay thing last year kind of bugged him. You know, you got Philip Lindsay, who was a fan favorite, and you know, certainly fans were wanting Philip Lindsay to take that role and be the number one. There was debates about it. Well, now we're going forward. Javonte Williams, he's not a homegrown kid, but he's a rookie, and he showed us a lot in the preseason. Is this the same old story, just a different cast?
Yeah, you hope not. You hope that these two can coexist together and not really, because last year it really was the Philip Lindsay show for one game when he went out and dominated in New England. And then at the second half of the season, it was Melvin Gordon. It was his show. We never really got to see a good Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay combo together. And that's something that we really hope to see here. We hope it's not just one guy one week, one guy the next week, because that's probably not going to play out very well over a 17-game season, Brady. It's going to be more like last year, where one guy has one good week and the other guy has six good weeks. You hope that these guys can play off each other. But an interesting thing, yesterday Vic Fangio said that Javonte Williams has earned the coach's trust so much that they're willing to put him in at any point of the game, at any time, in any situation. Just really shows you how much trust they truly have in him.
All right, so kind of two follow-ups there on that side of it. First off, isn't Melvin going to be really reluctant to want to come out then? Because Javonte comes in, and who knows? I mean, he makes a couple of crazy plays, and maybe we get the nod to him, and he starts getting the majority of the carries.
Yeah, and on top of it, Melvin is on a contract year right now. So whereas last year splitting the carries wasn't as big of a deal in terms of contract, this is a big deal to him. Now he can feel like you're taking money out of his pocket, and he knows the situation that he's put in right now. He knows that he's the starter for now, and that this young guy is clearly the future.
Well, and that's the thing is, Gordon's kind of in a, I guess, kind of a similar position as Teddy. Didn't necessarily have to fight for his position, but if he can be really solid and break out, who knows, a 1,300-yard year and really be great, a 1-2 punch with Javonte Williams, then maybe you could look at Denver saying, hey, we're gonna bring him back for another year or two. So, I mean, certainly interesting to see what happens on the running back side of things. Zach, talk to us about that right tackle position. What's it looking like there?
Bobby Massey has officially won that job. Now, Vic Fangio, and I really believe it when he says this, when he's talked about the quarterback position, he says, we have two guys that we believe we can play with in Drew and Teddy and win games with. Now, he said that same thing about the right tackle position with Bobby Massey and Calvin Anderson, and I really believe him when he says that about Calvin Anderson. They gave Calvin, they were so impressed with him. They let this competition go all the way up until now. Now, Bobby had kind of had it locked up for about the past 10 days, but they just were so impressed with Calvin Anderson. And that's something, if Calvin is able to continue to develop this year, then maybe we're not talking about re-signing Bobby Massey or going in early in the draft to get a right tackle. The Broncos may have their right tackle of the future on their roster right now with Calvin Anderson.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Broncos Giants regular season game one coming up on Sunday. We're getting ever so close to this opening game. It's a big one. Has a lot to it as far as Vic Fangio and the pressure. Let's slide over to the defense. First off, let's look at the injuries. What's the status on Bradley Chubb? Starting, you know, just some of the tweets I've been seeing of yours and other stuff kind of out there. Is Chubb going to be a full go on Sunday?
You know, a full go is too much for me to say right now. I'm not going to go that far. Chubb missed all of last week of practice, was back on the practice field in what seemed to be a very limited role yesterday. And after practice, when asked if Noah Fant and Bradley will be ready to go for the game, Vic said he thinks so. So me, I have guarded optimism about these guys being able to play. I do think they will end up playing. But Brady, I think you nailed it on the head. I don't think they're going to be full go, and I think their snaps are going to be limited. And to me, you need both of those guys out there. You want to see both of those guys out there. But Brady, if they're not ready to go, then don't have them play. And you just hope that the Jonathan Coopers and Albert O's are ready to go and step up for these guys for this game. But the worst thing that could happen is you try to force these guys back on the field for week one because you feel the pressure of how important these first three games are, and then one of them tweaks it again, and then they're out a month or two. You can't have that.
Yeah, no question about it. You got to – well, and I guess fans do kind of worry about maybe Vic Fangio. Not saying he would put anybody knowingly in harm's way, but maybe there is a little pressure for the now, the win now, as opposed to, okay, what's the long-term plan? Because Vic knows, hey, if I'm 0-3, somehow, some way to start these things out, boy, that seat is on fire. He can't even sit down on the hot seat.
And Brady, doesn't this really remind us of the quarterback conversation that we had? Vic Fangio was all about the now, whereas fans and maybe people within the organization thought it should be about the future.
Well, yeah, and I was reading something today, just kind of doing some early game previews and everything on the Giants side of it. And I'm not trying to say the Giants are a team you should compare or anything, but hey, they're saying, hey, our big philosophy is, yes, we want to get better this year. That's the goal, no question about it. But we can't sacrifice this year for next year, too. There's a lot of pressure to get it done, but we have to be careful with guys like Barkley. We can't force him out if he's not feeling up to snuff. So, I mean, you look at that, and I just feel... I guess I just feel like the Broncos, that message is kind of lost. It used to be Elway, hey, we're competing for a championship every year. Then it became, oh, well, we're just trying to get this thing right. It's not a rebuild, but it is a rebuild, but might be a rebuild. Now it's like George Payton's building for the future. Vic Fangio's playing for the now.
Yep, exactly. And George Payton says what his goal is for this season is to be relevant in November and December. Well, that's very wide open. And Vic Fangio is all about this next week, just getting the wins. And you're so right. It's a very awkward year, just to be honest. When you have a new GM on a 6-year contract, he knows he's going to be here for a long time. And you kind of have this coach that, just like you said, Brady, in just a couple weeks, he could be on the hottest of hot seats. It's a very weird dynamic.
Yeah, no question about it, man. It's strange to me. I questioned all of it back then, you know, with Elway and the timing of him stepping down, with the ownership situation up in the air. But here we are. Nonetheless, like I said, I can't complain anymore about the quarterback situation or the Vic Fangio hire from several years ago. This is where we are now. And you know what, Zach? I'm thinking this team wins the first three games and puts a lot of fans' minds at ease.
Oh, boy, we would all need that, Brady, because then everyone is going to get behind Teddy Bridgewater, at least for the short term. And then the Broncos have a great opportunity to really get big-time support by playing the Baltimore Ravens at home. If they drop that game still 3-1, go out and beat Pittsburgh. You're 4-1, and people outside of Colorado are starting to talk about you.
Yeah, it's finally time, right? You're desperate for that. If not, things are going to get rough. They're going to get messy very fast. Zach, what are you working on, man, that we can check out in the next couple of days?
Oh, man, a lot of stuff just leading up to the game, Brady. It's game week, and I am so pumped. So we'll have a lot of game and season previews, seeing just how the Broncos season is going to shake out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The Giants have some wide receivers, you know, getting Galladay, of course, Sterling Shepard. They picked up Kyle Rudolph, too. I mean, they have some weapons they can go to. I mean, I loved their Devontae Booker pickup, too, to help with Barkley. That guy, I'm still not giving up on that guy. I think he could still be a decent back.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos shirt certainly shouldn't be given up on him, considering what Devontae Booker did to them last year. So, yeah, that is a guy where I think a lot of Broncos fans kind of laugh when they see that he's going to be the guy playing in Saquon's spot if Saquon's not able to be 100%. But last time he was the one laughing after the game.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens this Sunday. We'll be looking forward to more and more previews from you, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Right on, Brady. Can't wait.
All right, Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. That's kind of the first taste, right, of what this what this regular season game is going to look like. We'll get into full on previews for all things Broncos Giants. We got a full slate this weekend too, Colfax. We got CU Texas A&M. We got UNC and Houston Baptist. We got CSU and Vanderbilt. Oh boy, if you said the South Dakota State game was a must-win game, then what is this game? Like, I don't know. Is it already done? Is the season over? I mean, listen, we know South Dakota State's good. They got to beat Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt lost to a lesser team than South Dakota State over the weekend. So there we go. Aaron says, let's see. Let's read a couple of texts. We got Top Text Tuesday, and I just got this breaking news. Breaking news, Colfax. So today and today only, the competition of Top Text Tuesday goes out the window as far as getting to your three. Because here's what I have. I have a pair of season tickets, a pair for the UNC Bears. And this is a hot ticket. Let me tell you this, folks. For Ed McCaffrey's Bears, Dylan McCaffrey, so much fun to watch this defensive line. This is a hot ticket item. Trust me on this. We used to get floods of these things to give away. It is tight because people are going to these games. They're out there. They're excited. I expect that first home game against Lamar to just absolutely be madness. So I've got a pair of tickets on the line. Top Text Tuesday, best texter of the day today wins the pair of tickets to go see your UNC Bears all season long, courtesy of Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. So load up the text. I'm going to get to them. I got a lot to read. But first, let's get out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
12:46 the time. It was a strange opening weekend, you know, overall. When you're looking at local teams, there were some great games on, too. So that was pretty exciting. But overall, you know, I still think with the Bears, I'm really curious to see how this Houston Baptist game turns out, because you got all this buildup for UNCCU, right? I mean, there's all this buildup, all this hype. Well, the hype's not going to surround this one as much. It's going to be hot down there, too, so we'll see how the Bears respond ultimately. But it was a fun week, man. I mean, it was a fun opening week. Again, I know we had games 2 weeks ago, but it was a fun overall opening week just to see these games rocking and rolling. First event is text line, 478-970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. It is Top Text Tuesday today and today only. We're not in our regular best, you know, you get your three wins competition. We are going to give a pair of season tickets away to the best texter of the day to go see the UNC Bears, Coach McCaffrey, Dylan McCaffrey, everybody, for the rest of the home season. So we'll get into that more. Let's read some text. Aaron says, the CU starters played most of the game. Bears made some mistakes that gave up scores and cost them points. Should have been 35-21. I don't really play the should have been 35-21, because you still got to score the touchdowns. You still got to – I don't really play that. I will give you this one. They should have had them stopped when it was like 3rd and 15 or whatever in that mid-second quarter, and it should have still been 0-0. I'll give you that one. I don't like to play the, well, if the Bears don't throw an interception, they score a touchdown. They did throw an interception. Dylan did throw an interception. So I don't like to play that one as much. It was 35-7. And yeah, you could have made a case that it felt closer, but I don't like to pretend to put points on the board. That's not my style on that one. Yeah, maybe it was PI on that one. I might give you that one. Let's see. Pillow Fight Dan. Coach Adazio ain't it. Read that Joe Parker. I read that Joe Parker wanted someone else, but Joyce McConnell didn't sign off. Interesting if true, which means the future is bleak. Well, I mean, he was the fourth option, folks. You had other options that you were going to go with. It just so happened that they all had some skeletons in their closet, and since Joe Parker was preaching that they were going to get guys that had strong character, they went in a different direction. And then, lo and behold, you had the drama play out with the Colorado and Adazio. It ain't pretty right now. It's in a tough spot. Another texter had multiple very diehard Ram fans say that they aren't going to renew season tickets until the product improves. And that's coming from people I never thought I'd hear that from. Because eventually you get to the point where you just say, enough's enough. And this is the product. I mean, you could sit here all day and tell me, well, that's a really good FCS team. It's an FCS team. If you're at that point, I mean, does CU expect to lose right now? Just where they are right now. Because they've made an improvement. They went to the Alamo Bowl last year. Carl Durrell has raised the bar, raised the expectations. We'll see what happens against A&M. But right now, CU expects to beat UNC. They expect to beat South Dakota State. Here's a question for you. Would UNC have beat CSU if they would have played on Friday night? If that would have been the game on Friday night? And South Dakota State, top of the FCS. UNC's probably, I mean, according to the preseason rankings, near the bottom. But I thought UNC looked pretty good. Dixon says, Zach's got me pumped. 11-6, baby. It's happening. You're going 3-0 to start out the gates, man. Let's go. Get it rolling. Put the mortgage on it. Don't really do that. the 970. Is this the coach? Is this the WrestleMania coach? Oh yes, we love coach. Coach, we got to get that nickname in there. Shout out to MGM. Do you want my money? This past weekend, they did take your money. Okay. CSU got worked at home, which made it just a little worse. CSU got body slammed at Canvas. Yeah. I mean, I love the wrestling. He's bringing in the wrestling lines. It works out. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's get to my game of the week. I got a lot of CSU stuff. We got some presser stuff from Steve Adazio yesterday. Get his thoughts. Was he strangely positive through most of it? We'll hear from Coach Adazio from that press conference a little bit later on in the show. Mike Brohard will join us, and, well, he's going to help us turn the page on to Vanderbilt for Colorado State. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It is Top Text Tuesday today. Bring your best text, and you're going to win. Hey, you could win a pair of tickets to go see UNC Bears football all season long now. And I walked away from that CU game pretty optimistic. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. After losing to Colorado on Friday night, are you more optimistic or less optimistic about UNC going forward, this 2021 campaign? Wow. I mean, it's interesting. Less optimistic is what's winning the poll. 42% of the hooligans saying less optimistic, 35% saying more, 21% saying about the same. I mean, I'll give you about the same, but less? They did better than what the wise guys thought. They did better than what a lot of people thought. So you should be feeling a little bit better about the UNC Bears going forward. All right, second hour, Broncos, Giants, first look. Gambling numbers up. Coach Adazio on the loss that was over the weekend, what it means for the future. Mike Brohard will join us as well. All that and more coming up next on the whole show powered by PDC Energy.